This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, where we left off last time. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. Just before we begin, I want to do a remembrance of love for Dr. Charles Krauthammer, who left this planet this week. What a majestic, brilliant man he is. What a great spirit he is. Despite a tremendous handicap, he overcame and did something good that mattered with his life. The Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. The spirit is the intellect of the soul. And boy, was he an intellect. And his spirit just kept his body moving. And that's what happens to all of God's people. We actually learn to overcome and develop the spirit man so that the flesh man doesn't have any power over us. Dr. Charles Krauthammer, the planet is lonely without you. And so we praise God for your life. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. Jesus has told Peter to start building the church the first time. Now it's come to the end of the age, and you and I have to reform the church because the church has been torn down and ripped apart and fed untruths in it. So Peter in chapter 1, book 1, 1 Peter, he gives us some good basics. He says the most important thing for you to understand is that you're bought with a price, not gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Then he gave us some very good advice on men and women, how they're to handle themselves, the fact that we are to witness. And now he's going to have another subject which will affect every one of you. Let's listen. Scripture reading, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who also am an elder. All right, and now he exhort means encourage. Peter says, I am an elder, and so I am encouraging you who are elders in the church. Now somebody will say, now wait just a minute. You're talking about old people? No. An elder in the church is someone who is mature in God's word. James chapter 5:13 says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, someone mature in the word. Let them anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. It means someone mature in God's word, who understands the mystery of God, who lives God's word, and walks in God's word, and obeys God's word. Now, Peter is saying, I also am an elder, and I can understand the troubles and trials you go through, because so do I. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, some of you are saying, but wait a minute, Sherry, this isn't going to help me. I'm not an elder in the church. Wait just a moment. This does include you. Let's look at level number one, elder. This can be someone that God has stationed in the pulpit, and we might call them pastor, or we might call them teacher, and they would be teaching that word of God, book, chapter, verse, with the anointing of Holy Spirit. And maybe they have an actual building called a church, or maybe they have a radio ministry or a television ministry, an internet ministry. And so we'd certainly would say that's an elder. That's someone who has the mystery of God. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody's got that platform is an elder, but they would be if they were teaching it correctly. And then there's that category of elders. You have a calling of God, you are gifted, and right now you have a position in the church where you are, to the best of your ability, sending out the word of God. Remember, everything is the word of God, not other superfluous things. The word of God is the point. Nothing is to be exalted above the word. And you are stationed there, and you are in a ministry, and you're doing that, yet you know God's called you for more. Let me give you a little bit of advice right now. bloom where you're planted, and God will transplant you. If you're forever looking to find the grass that's greener in another field, He's never going to promote you. You've got to learn to give it all where you've got, and just right there, make that your ministry. And He's going to talk about that in a few minutes. So that takes care of that. Now, how about those of you who say, well, I'm not an elder. I just go to church and stare. I don't ever win any souls or anything. Well, you're listening to me right now, aren't you? Unless you came here for Angela's birthday cupcakes, you're probably here to hear God's word. So see, you're in training to be an elder. An elder, someone mature in God's word. So this can include everyone. Everyone has a potential of being an elder. So Peter says, I'm one also.
And a witness to the suffering of Christ.
Peter gives his credentials. He says, I saw Jesus crucified.
Also a partaker of the glory which shall be revealed.
And he says, not only that, I saw Jesus die. I saw him shed his blood. But he said, I saw him resurrected. Because while Jesus was still in the flesh, he took Peter and James and John to the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17, where Jesus sort of metamorphed there into his resurrected body, his body of transfiguration. And he stood before Peter and James and John. And alongside of him was Moses, the lawgiver, and Elijah, the prophet. And they were in their transfigured bodies too. So Peter got to see what Jesus would look like after Jesus resurrected. So he says, I have seen that. What did Peter see? What is described in Revelation chapter 1, describing Jesus. His head and his hair white as wool, as white as snow. His eyes as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. His voice as a sound of many waters. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. This is what Peter saw. I saw him, he said.
To feed the flock of God which is among you.
Now, the letters to the elders, which includes everybody under the sound of my voice, you either have a church or radio ministry or media ministry, and they might call you the teacher or the pastor, or you might be associated with a ministry and you've got a spot, you've got a place to do, you've got things to do to help get the word out, you're an elder, or you might just be studying and preparing so that someday you can be an elder and teach, okay? Now, what does he tell you to do? He tells you to feed the flock among you. Jesus is a good shepherd, and we're the sheep of his pasture. We are the flock. Now, so those of you who already have a church, a building with people coming, a radio ministry or a TV ministry, you feed. This is feed the seed. What is the seed? The word of God. What do you do? Do you feed them a book about the book, a book someone's written? Do you feed them a quarterly? Do you feed them what someone said? No, Isaiah 28. You feed them precept by precept, line by line. You feed them one book at a time, then you go chapter, verse, and line by line. Every Christian church should be doing this every time the door is open. There should be a book that's being studied. I didn't make this rule up. It's in the Bible. And he says, read this epistle in the church. Paul Amen. Kept saying that. Amen. Read this epistle in the church. You would not go to a bookstore and buy a book and then go home and turn on page 84 and say, I'm starting here to read this, would you? You wouldn't know what it was saying. See, that's why we've got so much out of context. You open it up and you get one little verse here, and the subject might be three chapters back. And see, that's where we get into all kind of fusion. So you feed them the Word of God. Now, what about those of you who are in training to be elders, or elders but you haven't found your pulpit yet? You have a job. On the job, people come to you and say, would you pray for me? Or you have Facebook, or on your smartphone, they're always texting you and saying, poor little me, I have so many troubles. I wonder what life's all about. I wish God would speak to me. I wish I had faith. These are people coming to you. This is flock about you. At lunch, when everybody comes and sits around to tell you, poor little me, that's your flock. See, there's your flock. Now, if you feed them self-pity,
or you feed them stories about yourself, that won't do it. What do you feed them? The Word of God. Do you understand? If you're a leader of this kind of a group or this kind of a club, the troubles they have, alcoholism, drugs, what people need is the Word of God. I know the world has a system, but we're not under the world system. We're ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And our system is from the Bible. And we go by that. And it's quite sufficient. Thank you very much. Yes. Have you noticed how much the system, generation after generation after generation, we have psychiatrists, we have Alcoholics Anonymous, we have drugs, and nobody ever gets the cure? The Bible's got the cure. One fell swoop for everything. So that person that's always miserable, always coming to you, not about yourself, not all kind of stories. You can use an illustration of yourself in just a moment, and they might be watching your life. But don't go into that. Not a book about the book. Not I read this story, somebody said. Find the solution to what their problem is and give them the Word of God. You have done the right thing. Did you know God rewards? God responds to people who obey Him. And when we obey Him and feed the flock, He rewards. Boy, does He know how to reward us.
Amen.
Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. Now, you don't try to make them understand. If people want to start arguing with what you're telling them, smile at them and excuse yourself. Go on to the... Paul says, shake the dust off your feet and go to the next one. But willingly, not for filthy lucre. Don't ever do it for money. Oh my goodness, no begging for money. When Jesus sent out the disciples two by two, He gave them some instructions. He said, do not take a scrip. A scrip is a begging bag. He does not send us out beggars. We go by faith. And if we will go by the money principles, economic, biblical economics in the Bible, to tithe, to give seed, and to give alms to the poor, God will always supply our need. His Word never fails. I'm living proof. I've never taken an offering. I never will. And you've never heard me say it on the radio, and I never will. I don't hear. Are people supposed to give? Yes, of course. But let them work that out with God. A laborer is worthy of his hire, and you do not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. But nevertheless, you don't ever ask for money. This is where I made a vow to God. I wouldn't drag His reputation down. I want people to know that He loves them freely. He freely gave His blood for you. You don't have to pay for it.
Amen.
Of a ready mind. Verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage. Now, you don't want to feel superior over these people, this flock that's coming. You. Maybe there's just one little lamb that comes to you. Maybe they text you every day on your smart machine and say, boy, I wish I knew what life was about. My life is so miserable. That's your little lamb. Don't get down in the misery with them. Listen, one time, you're not helping them if you get down there and roll in the misery. Give them the Word of God. But don't lord it over them. It's just like on this radio. There are very few Christians have ever heard of the three earth and heaven ages. Peter's going to teach us that in 2 Peter 3. And yet it's all over the Bible. And some of you have heard that from me. But some people have never heard. So you never lord it over anyone or how much you know. Just help them to know what they need to know.
But being an ensample to the flock.
Example.
Verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away.
I told you, when you feed the flock among you, whether it's that one little lamb that bugs you on your cell phone all the time, God rewards you when He comes at the seventh trump in the cloud. If you have been feeding the flock, whatever the flock is around you, if it's one, feed that one. If it's 20, feed that one. If it's 20,000, feed that one. He's going to reward you. What's your reward? He puts a crown of glory on your head. What is the glory? The Shekinah glory of Jesus, His very presence. The Bible says, Song of Solomon, which I just finished teaching, His left hand's under your head, His right hand doth embrace you. You can literally feel Him touching you. He touched me when I was playing the piano a while ago. Zechariah says He puts a mitre on your head, and it means it'll never fade away. He'll never take His touch away from you again. Here in the flesh, sometimes it comes and goes.
but it's a perpetual honeymoon. The honeymoon never ends. Hallelujah.
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 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder.
Okay, younger here. Elder and younger is not talking about ages. I see a person could be an elder in the church and be 15 years old. The younger could be 70 years old. That means the younger is someone who's not mature in the word. And so if you are new and learning God's word, it means to be very respectful of that elder that is helping you because it's a high and holy calling, and appreciate them and be nice to them. We need to learn to take care of people and appreciate people more who go out of their way to help us. We are lacking that in the body of Christ.
Or be subject one to another.
In other words, you need to help each other anyway. Approach people as though you're there to serve. What can I do to serve you?
And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble.
Pride is one of the 7 deadly sins. Proverbs tells us about that. Why is that? Deadly sins. The wages of sin is death. When Satan rebelled in the world that then was, Peter's going to talk about that in 2 Peter chapter 3, that brought death into the equation. So God is very much against pride. Satan got pride, proud, and he decided to be God and deceived God's children in the spiritual body. And so we've had this death thing hanging over our head, and God didn't mean that. And so he just can't take pride. Resist pride. Be humble.
Verse 6. Humble therefore yourself.
That's what I said.
The mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time.
Now this will really help those of you who know you're called, you're an elect, you're an elder, and you are serving to the full capacity, but you know that there's another place. Stop looking for that next place. Just fill up what you've got now. But there is a set time. God has a strategy. He's got an appointment book. And he's got a set time for you to be promoted. But this patience and endurance is very important, because what you don't know is you're not ready for it yet. You feel you're ready, but God knows when you're ready. If you had any idea how much inner spiritual strength you have to draw on to keep your ground and stand your ground when all around you is sinking sand, you would not try to hurry up God. You would wait on him. Bloom where you're planted. Make the most of it. He's watching. He's got a set time to exalt you to the next level.
7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
Now that's your verse to memorize this week. Casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. I want all of you in cyberspace and all the room here, put your hands on the back of your shoulders, and I want you to pull up those fears and worries and anxiety and pain and fear and aggravations and fatigue. And when I count to 3, I want you to say, take these, Jesus. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Take these, Jesus. Cast them on him, for he careth for you. You will be very glad to know that it says careth, C-A-R-E-T-H, instead of cares. Care is good. Care is when I open my door to my school and I see a homeless person hungry, and I come back in and grab a fresh sandwich I just made and some orange juice, and I say, I care about whether you're hungry or not. Here's a sandwich and here's some orange juice. And they say, thank you. But careth would mean I would say, here, eat this, and I want you to sit here while I'm going to make some phone calls. I'm going to rent a place, and I'm going to pay 2 months in advance for you to have a place. I'm going to get your job so after 2 months you can pay for the place. And I'm going to make sure you got some food in your place. Now that's caring. So Jesus cares for you. He cares for the whole world. Whosoever will may come. But you're an elder. You're feeding the flock of God. So he cares about the details of your life. Sometimes you think he doesn't care about the details, but that's because you don't share the details with him. There should be never a moment when he's not included. Anything you're doing where he can't be included, you shut him out.
8, be sober, be vigilant.
Be steady, be serious. If you remember why you came to your mother's womb, you came here to feed the flock. That's what you did. You wouldn't be so concerned about having fun and new houses and lands and all this kind of mess that is just running people ragged, all the noise of the crazy world. You would keep your focus. Life is real and life is earnest. We need to be very serious. This fifth trumpet is sounding now, time of learning. The sixth trumpet's about to sound. That's Antichrist. Then Jesus comes. How long more are you going to wait before you get out there and bring a soul to Jesus?
Because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
Sober also means to be alert, discern. Discernment of spirits is one of the gifts of Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Discern, because the devil's going to try to lay a trap for you, and it'll seem so sweet and so beautiful and so innocent. And he will try to snare you, and he walks about. He knows the elect, he knows the elders, and he's trying to stop you from fulfilling your destiny, because the devil is afraid of the elders, and the devil is afraid of the very elect, because he knows that you're going to be in his face when he comes, and that we're going to expose him when we deliver it up to him.
Kind. Who resist steadfast.
Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Peter told us in an earlier chapter. How do you resist the devil? Here's how you do it. You say, it is written. Everybody say it. It is written. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
On the grounds of the blood covenant.
On the grounds of the blood covenant.
So you start out that. It is written in Jesus' name on the grounds of the blood covenant. Then you quote the scripture that is the antidote for your trouble. Let's just say you're afraid. It is written in Jesus' name on the grounds of the blood covenant. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See what I'm saying? Yeah, find the scripture. That's how you resist the devil. It's not by reading somebody's book. It's not by having a meeting. It's not by quoting somebody's points over here. It's the Word of God. It's the power and the shield against Satan. No wonder Christians are so defeated. The word's been stolen from you. Books about the book in the pulpit instead of book, chapter, verse, and line, as God told us to do.
And the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world.
Just know that anyone who is an elect, who is serving God to the capacity of an elder, that Satan's also trying to trip them up.
10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect.
Perfect means mature. You're no good until you've suffered. Do you know who's the most beautiful to me? A Christian who suffered for God. That's beautiful. That's beautiful to God. That suffering cuts off the green, cuts off the fat, cuts off the self-centeredness. It just makes you so pure and holy and so aware of what everything's all about. And then it makes you perfect. You're no good until you've suffered for God. Otherwise, your muscles are flabby, and you don't have any faith muscles developed. The suffering is such a blessing. You need to thank him for it sometimes.
Established, strengthen, settle you.
Settle you. Cause you to settle down. Stand your ground. I'm called, and I'm not moving from my faith. I'm going to be the best I can be where I am with what I have for Jesus' sake today. And I will give it all I've got. Here am I, Lord, send me. I'm settled. I'm settled. Jesus is Lord. The Bible is the book. The Holy Spirit is my guide. And my life belongs to the Lord.
11. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
12. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written deeply, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God.
What Jesus was doing was using Peter and James and Paul and all of these books that we're studying in here to write the Bible. Do you realize we are reading what he wrote right now? So these men did not write this. They were just the conduit. The Holy Spirit dictated it. So he sends it to Silvanus to be read in the churches. And look at us. We're reading it over 2,000 years later.
Wherein ye stand. 13. The church which is Babylon, elected among you, elected together with you, salute you. And so does Marcus, my son.
This would be Mark John, who wrote the book of Mark in the New Testament. Apparently, Peter took him under his wings and disciplined him until he was like a spiritual son.
14. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity.
A holy kiss. Now it should be holy.
Peace be with you and all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so we conclude the first book of Peter, which has been a lot of groundwork for the church. Next week we'll begin 2 Peter. Now we're going to move into the next level. Paul taught on three levels, so did Peter, and so do we here at Trumpet of Truth. We're going to get into what everybody needs to know, the three earth and heaven ages, documenting it from the Bible. That will make it much clearer to you why we are here and what our mission is, and understand the cross and the blood so much better. Now, we had two verses that will help you forever to memorize. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. Remember that one. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. Don't forget that one, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. And the one tonight, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, and it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So I want you to know that one of the famous institutions to train ministers, Christian ministers, I won't say which one it was, has tried to take 2 Peter out of the Bible so we would not teach what he said about the three earth ages. And yet, if you don't know that, you never get the whole plan. So thank goodness they didn't take it out of the Bible. We're going to start that next week. God bless you. I hope you are blessed. 1 Peter. Right now it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm very good, Miss Sherry. That was a great book. I can't wait for 2 Peter.
I know it.
I know. Okay, our first question tonight. Why did Jesus tell Peter, feed my sheep, and then tell him, feed my lamb?
Actually, that's a very good question, because Christians are on different levels. Lambs are what I call milk bottle Christians. They're baby Christians. A new Christian coming in, you know, you get them saved, you tell them about Jesus, but there's so much growth. And then you want to grow up into a full mature sheep. So Peter was to teach on different levels. So see, 1 Peter is more like lambs going into being sheep, because the elders are definitely sheep. But the 2 Peter, getting the three earth and heaven ages, that'll be for the sheep. So in other words, you have to know when you're teaching there where the people are, but you don't ever compromise. You make sure that you bring them up. This is why it's difficult when you're trying to disciple someone and they don't come to church to get it all. And so that's what you do. You teach on all levels so that all the lambs can become sheep.
And that's why it's so important, too, to teach book by book, verse by verse.
Book by book. Yes. We'll do it every time.
Yeah. Our next question. Can you please explain Jesus' strong words concerning calling someone a fool?
Yes, Jesus was very strong about that. He says, if you say thou fool, you're in danger of hell fire. He's not talking about if you say Boy, that was a foolish thing for someone to do. It's probably not a good thing to call somebody a fool. What it means is, the Greek, is to dehumanize that person, for you to say, that person's not even worth saving. That person is so nothing that I wouldn't even want a witness of them. And then, in other words, you count them as though they were totally unworthy. But Jesus says, whosoever will may come. We don't ever dehumanize anybody. The last breath we have, we try to get people into the kingdom. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't use wisdom. You don't stay on with a person if they reject God. You go on to the next one, but we don't dehumanize. David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
The enemy is a master at twisting communication, perception, and thought. Satan purposely added to and took away from the volume of the book to manipulate Jesus towards his agenda, to convince him to think and to see as he did. Beware, church, there are false prophets and teachers among you who shall privily bring in damnable heresies, and through covenantness they shall make merchandise of you. They speak evil of things that they understand not, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you.
There you go. Merchandise, meaning filthy lucre. Thank you very much, Scott Mercer. That is so beautiful. Thank you very much. Before I pray for those of you who are sick, let me pray the prayer of salvation. If you're not saved, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. This is a great time for someone to accept Jesus. Pray this and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Wash my sins away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash my sins away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Guide me into all truth.
Guide me into all truth.
And use me to enhance your territory.
To enhance your territory.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Amen. In a few minutes, excuse me, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. Feel free to call and leave your name on there if you were saved. And now let me pray for those of you who are sick. In the name and the power of Jesus, Father, I ask that Son of Righteous arise with healing in your wings, right into the lungs and into the vocal cords. The obstruction there needs to move in Jesus' name. That's right, give it a cough and out it goes in Jesus' mighty name. Let the lungs breathe and let the air flow in Jesus' mighty name. Let the stomach be healed, let the stomach be at ease, and let the backbone and spine be in perfect alignment in Jesus' name. Touch the feet, stop the burning in the feet, and make the bones strong in Jesus' name. Let deaf ears hear and blind eyes see, and pain stop in Jesus' mighty name. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, oh, let the healing virtue flow in. Let the right eye be restored back to sight, the left eye be restored back to sight in Jesus' name. Laser beams working there in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Excuse me. And if you were healed, feel free to call me. I often pick up what somebody else is feeling there, so just ignore me about that. And it comes on me, and then I get rid of it, and then they get healed. Don't forget that what you get is not yours to keep, but is to give away. So go and tell someone about Trumpet of Truth. Don't forget that Sundays we meet here at 5 o'clock, Wednesdays 6 p.m., Thursdays from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Scott and I are here to pray for you. Walk in or call in, or we'll just pray for you anyway. Remember the radio, WMIEFM.com, any of these books on demand. Now, remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, and my twin friend, Scott Merson, saying we love you, God bless you, God keep you, God make his face to shine upon you, and remember, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
To the water, you who thirst, and your thirst no more. Come to the Father, you who work, and your work no more. And all you who labor in to the broken and shamed, love is here, love is now, love is pouring from his hands, from his brow, love is near, it satisfies, streams of mercy flowing from his side, cause love is here.
This is how we know. This is how we know what love is. Just one look at your cross. And this is where we see. This is where we see how love works. For you surrendered your all. And this is how we know that you have loved us first. And this is where we chose to love you in return. For you so loved the world that you gave your only son. Love amazing, so divine. We will love you in return. For this life that you give, for this death that you have died. Love amazing, so divine. We will love you in reply, Lord. This is how we know. This is how we know what love is. Just one look at your cross. This is where we see. This is where we see how love works. For you surrendered your all. And this is how we know that you have loved us first. And this is where we chose to love you in return. For you so loved the world that you gave your only son. Love amazing, so divine. We will love you in return. For this life that you give, for this death that you have died. Love amazing, so divine. We will love you in reply. For you so loved the world that you gave your only son. Love amazing. Should be hands and feet that serve you in this world. So let it stay true and let it endure. That you will be glorified and worshipped and adored. For you so loved the world that you gave your only son. Love amazing, so divine. We will love.
Calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big.
to the King, my greatest love and light. I hand you everything, glory, glory. I hear the angels say, open my ears, let me hear your voice to know that sweet sound. Oh, my soul, rejoice, glory.
On the cross. set your spirit free. Have you ever watched a sunrise and felt you could not breathe? What if it's Him? What if it's God speaking? Have you ever cried a tear that you could not explain? Have you ever met a stranger who already knew your name? What if it's Him? What if it's God speaking? What if He's somehow involved? What if He's speaking through it all? Who knows how we'll get a hold of us, get our attention to prove He is enough. He'll do and He'll use whatever He wants to.
WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, Titusville, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.